Chapter number 13. Good to have all of you here this morning to worship the Lord. Good to have our folks just joining us now on YouTube. We welcome you and appreciate you joining us in our worship and those who are listening through our website. So good to have all of you here with one purpose, to glorify and to worship the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Charity never fails. What a statement. It never fails. So why would we not use it? Why would we not take the love that we've received from God and live it out into an action, into a work, which is charity? Love and charity are two different things. They're related, but when you change charity to love, you miss the entire purpose of chapter 13. Love is on the inside, charity is on the outside. It's when you experience through an action from someone else the love that's inside of them from Jesus Christ that comes out. And you experience it through this work, through this action. So it says, if you would do that as a Christian, it would never fail. But whether there be prophecies, direct revelation from God to an individual that they voice, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, languages, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, talking about the gift of knowledge, the gift of languages, they shall vanish away. For, here's why, we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But we don't remain children. We grow into adolescence and into adulthood. And those speaking, the understanding, and the thoughts grow as we grow. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That has another application too. When you're 40 years old, you shouldn't be acting like you did when you were a teenager. Verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abides faith, hope, charity. These three. Now abides, stays, remains. Faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is tongue. Charity. So we have here a partial list of some spiritual gifts that will be departing, that will be leaving. And in verse 13, there's a partial list of some spiritual gifts that will be abiding, that will be staying. So let me say from the get-go that if you don't get this teaching in 1 Corinthians 13, you will remain in a state of spiritual ignorance concerning spiritual gifts. As a reminder, in the current Sunday morning series, we're looking together at phrases in the New Testament that says, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning, and then it names a subject. I would not have you to be without teaching, or to correct the misteaching, or you didn't fully understand the teaching. The second phrase we're looking at is know ye not and the blank. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and so on. You were taught it. You got it, but it slipped. Or you don't know how to apply it. There's seven major subjects, seven major truths that we're examining together. And we're at number six. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. I've taken the longest on this one because so many Christians are just plumb eat up with ignorance. You can tell I've been in East Texas for my vacation, right? Yeah. I mean, some of y'all have been hit upside the head with an ignorant stick over this idea of spiritual gifts. The false teaching is everywhere you look, on the internet, on the TV. Every time you get around some Christians, that's all they talk about. Just to be sure that we're on the same page, let's do a quick recap. Now, hopefully you've already gotten all this down. If not, need to go back and look and pick it up off our YouTube. Back in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verses 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." This is the introduction, and it's also the foundation of the teaching that's going to follow in chapters 12, 13, and 14. So number one was a recognition of the condition of ignorance of biblical understanding of spiritual gifts, verse 1. Number two was a reminder of our background in verse 2. Number three was a renewal of our minds by the Holy Spirit in verse 3. Spiritual gifts are under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Then in verses 4 to 7, this is the framework of the teaching of chapters 12 through 14, which include the parallel teaching in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 4 says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." So this framework gives us the three main purposes of spiritual gifts, which ties into the purpose of a church. Number four was that God may be glorified. The first purpose of spiritual gifts is that God be glorified in the operation of them. That's from 1 Peter 4, verse 11. Number five was that the church may be edified, built up, strengthened. That's from Ephesians 4, verse 12. And then number six, which we just finished up, also from Ephesians 4, verse 12, was that the church may do the work of the ministry. And the ministry of the church is the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Now number seven will be today, and Lord willing, number eight next Sunday. We'll see how that works out. So then before we start on number seven, we looked at six points of explanation that I also want to remind you of. So quickly, number one, the operation of spiritual gifts do not make you spiritual. It does not identify you as a spiritual person that's right with God. Nor does it produce the fruits of the Spirit that's mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. The operation of spiritual gifts in your life simply means that you've gotten out of the way. Your talents, your pride have gotten out of the way so that the Holy Spirit can operate his gifts through you to carry out the mission of the church. Number two, the Holy Spirit gives unity to a church of diversities and differences in gifts and in the using of them in service. Number three, it is the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, who gives and operates the spiritual gifts through the agency of the Holy Spirit according to God's will. Number four, spiritual gifts are not natural talents and abilities that we had prior to salvation. A gift is something that we have received from the Lord that we did not have before. Number five was your unique gift in its varying degree or combination of more than one gift. Match your calling, your spiritual vocation, the job that you're doing that the Lord has called you to serve Him. And number six was the focus is never on spiritual gifts. Never. As a matter of fact, after 1 Corinthians, you don't see these miraculous spiritual gifts mentioned. There's a reason for that. The focus is always on Jesus Christ and glorifying God through what's being done in the church to accomplish its mission and purpose, which, by the way, is to continue the ministry that Jesus Christ has started. Now, I've run through that fast because it's a summary of the other six messages. So I'll slow down and we'll start number seven. So number seven of the main points, we move from chapter 12 to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And remember, the purpose is to clear up the ignorance. It's not a verse-by-verse teaching of spiritual gifts. That takes a while. And we usually reserve that for Sunday nights. Chapter 13, verse 8. Again, charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Another note or a point of explanation is that not all spiritual gifts are permanent. Some are temporary to achieve a temporary purpose. And when that purpose is finished, the gifts are finished and completed. So number seven, the miraculous spiritual gifts and Jewish sign gifts have ceased. The miraculous spiritual gifts and Jewish sign gifts have ceased. They finished. Now, I don't believe there's a question that these spiritual gifts will cease, according to verse 8. These miracle Jewish sign gifts that were given primarily to the apostles. The question of verse 8 is when? What certain folks struggle with. There's only two possible answers. Number one, this comes at the second coming of Jesus Christ and heaven. Number two, at the completion of the Word of God and the death of the last apostle. So is it the living Word coming at the end of the tribulation, or is it the written Word coming at the end of the apostles? Verse 9 mentions the parts. He said, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. And then verse 10 mentions the perfect, the completed result of what was provided part by part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I notice that it says when that which is perfect comes. Not who. If it's the Word of God, which I believe is plain, if it's the Word of God, Genesis to Revelation, that has been completed, then the particular gifts that provided the revelation of God's word through the apostles have been completed and are therefore ceased. If it's the second coming and heaven, then the gifts have not ceased, and the word of God has not yet been fully given and revealed, and the whole gospel has not been fully preached. And there has been throughout church history an unbroken line of apostles with equal authority as God's word. So does that help clear it up? Each part contributes to the whole. The miracle gifts enabled the apostles to speak and to write New Testament scripture. The gifts also were an authentication to Israel that this was of God. Don't lose your place in Corinthians, but go to the right, a couple of books to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, where we were reading. Chapter 3, verse 3. Paul says that how that by revelation he made known unto me. By revelation he, verse 2 and verse 1, Jesus Christ, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So there was a direct revelation to God given to the apostles that they taught, that they spoke, that was written down and became the New Testament. Now, back in verse 10 in 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 10 and in verse 8, we have fail, cease, vanish away, and done away. Now, verse 11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So here these miracle gifts are compared to children and their growth into maturity. Put away. The planting of the early church was like the planting of a tree sapling that you have to stake. When you plant a young tree, you put a stake in the side of it and you tie it, or you put two stakes if there's high winds, so that that tree, when it grows, would grow straight and grow into maturity. And when the root system is firmly established, then you take those stakes away. Verse 12, for now we see through a glass, through a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Do you know God's will and revelation completely or just in part? The church age is fully revealed in the New Testament, all the way up to the rapture of the church. Then the tribulation age, 7 years, is fully revealed up to the second coming. And then the kingdom age is fully revealed in the New Testament up to the great white throne judgment of the lost. Then the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem is fully revealed past that. This reveals God's will for this present earth and the earth to come. It's complete. What else are you going to add to it? This is God's completed revelation. So therefore, there is no need of further revelation. There's a need for further understanding of this revelation. Hence, what we're doing right now and on Sunday nights in Sunday school, the miraculous spiritual gifts were given to establish the other gifts like faith, hope, charity in verse 13. The gift that established them have achieved their purpose. They have ceased for three reasons. Number one, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit operating through the church, and these miracle sign gifts were rejected by Israel. Look at chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 22. For the Jews require a sign. The Greeks, Gentiles, they seek after wisdom. The Greeks, the Jews said, before I believe, I have to see a miracle, a sign from God that it's from Him. Gentiles, Greeks, I have to understand it between my ears before I believe it. That's the stumbling block. But the Jews require a sign, and God always gave them a sign. Moses said, if I go to your people in Egypt and they say, who sent you? What am I going to say? And he said, well, what's in your hands? It's a staff. He said, throw it down. It became a snake. So he performed these miracles in front of Pharaoh and in front of the Jews back in Egypt, and they said, oh, this must be of God. A sign. God always gave a sign to the nation of Israel. Now, go to chapter 14, 22 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14, 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a what? Sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. The Jews. Okay, so these miracle sign gifts were given to authenticate to the Jews that this was of God. Look at the book of Acts, chapter 2. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, the Jews and Jewish proselytes were in Jerusalem at the Jewish feast of Pentecost. Jews. Peter is preaching to them. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. He said, you men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. So God gave Jesus Christ this ability to perform miracles as a sign to the nation of Israel that what he was saying, what he was doing was of God the Father. Clear, unmistakable proof. Then in chapter 7 of Acts, at the stoning of Stephen, as he gave them a wonderful sermon, in chapter 7, verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. That's what a lot of people do about the preacher's sermon later that afternoon. Yeah. Verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And then verse 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. They stoned him. chapter 28, the last chapter of Acts. Acts 28. Right after that stoning of Stephen, God called a Jewish Pharisee by the name of Saul to salvation, and then sent him to the Gentiles, not to the house of Israel. Chapter 28, verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, these are the Jews that came to speak with Paul. When they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers. Verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. God closed the door on the nation of Israel. They rejected His revelation in the Old Testament as from God the Father. They rejected the revelation in the Gospels of Jesus Christ. They rejected the revelation of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And then God went to the Gentiles. So those miracles, those signs, those wonders were signs to the Jews and were completely rejected. Then number two, the second purpose of the miracle spiritual gifts ending is the office of apostle has been completed. Ephesians again, back in our reading in Ephesians 2, the office of apostle has ceased. There are no more apostles biblically. Ephesians 2, verse 19, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. The foundation does not make up the whole building, but the building cannot go up until the foundation is completed. The apostles were given the words of God in the New Testament. The prophets were given the words of God in the Old Testament. So our foundation is the Word of God, with Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. What we believe and what we do is based entirely upon what God has said in His Word. And that's the definition of faith. Faith takes these words and believes them and lives out these words. So if you're listening to somebody or something that contradicts these words or downplays them as not authoritative anymore, you're listening to false teaching, to deception, and to lies. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, yeah, there's the problem. Let me get number three in, and we'll call it a day. So much to talk about. Just going to finish number two. Go back to the book of Acts. Because if you don't see that the office of apostle has ceased with the completion of the Word of God, you won't see that those spiritual gifts have ceased. Because one of the primary jobs of an apostle was speaking the Word of God, called prophesying with direct revelation from God. Acts chapter 2 again. Acts chapter 2 at the end of the chapter, verse 42. And verse 41, they gladly received his word. They were then baptized. That brought them into the fellowship of the church. And then there were added to the church. Then they were joined to the church after they were baptized. Verse 42, and then they continued steadfastly in the New Testament. No, the New Testament didn't exist. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. The apostles' doctrine is what became the New Testament. Chapter 4, verse 43, before we go. Chapter 2, verse 43. As a result of that, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Chapter 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Chapter 14, verse 3 of Acts. Chapter 14, verse 3. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Signs and wonders to be done by their hands. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So these accompanying signs of miracles and wonders that were done to and for the nation of Israel, to Jews, were given to the apostles. When the Jews rejected those signs and wonders, when they rejected the teaching, what further purpose are there for those wonders and signs? None. When the completed revelation of God's will for us is completed, what further need is there of apostles? When the church has been established and is growing, you pull up the stakes, you pull up the apostles and prophets, and then the evangelists and the pastors step in and disciple and train as that young sapling grows to maturity. So we'll pick up. I did say Lord willing. I qualified it. So we'll pick up with a third purpose of these gifts ceasing, and that's with the completion of the New Testament. I wonder, in your operating of the remaining spiritual gifts that cause a church to function and to operate biblically, is the Lord Jesus Christ getting the glory? Are you being led of the Holy Spirit to do what you're doing in serving the Lord, you have 2 months to seriously pray about that before we start in September a new year of commitment into a specific ministry that accomplishes either one of the three planks of the Great Commission or one of the two planks of the Great Commandment. Every ministry in this church is to serve the purpose of the church. It's the means whereby we do that. And the means where each of us do it is by the ability and the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what you're supposed to be doing? Why the Holy Spirit connected you to this church family? Do you know why? If not, you need to pray and ask specifically why. Lord, what would you have me to be doing? It may be the same thing you've been doing. That's common. But in that source of trying to do that, you saw that it wasn't fitting. Maybe this is not my spiritual gift. So be praying, and also, if the Lord hasn't come for the church yet, that means that the purpose and the work of the church is still underway. Quit resigning your responsibility of serving the Lord because it looks as though the church age is about to end. It's not ended yet. And the day that it does, the Lord should find us busy about His business, not sitting on the roof looking for Him to come back while the world and the community around you goes to hell. Church of Jesus Christ of 2023 needs to reconnect with this endowment on high of the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do what God has saved us and called us to do. I invite you to do just that and to pray specifically for that. Those of you who have never been born again, I invite you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Spiritual gifts doesn't even apply to you. The only thing that applies to you is that unless something changes in your life, you will never see God, you will never see heaven. You will be in an eternity, forever separated from God. So your focus should be on salvation, on asking God to do what you cannot do, produce righteousness in you, change your life, transform your life to what God originally created you to be, His child for all of eternity. Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God that clears up so much confusion. But Lord, I find myself struggling with time to get all of the teaching in. And Lord, it seems like I'm facing a losing battle because the enemy has the attention of folks so much more than they have my attention. Lord, through the devices, through television, through media outlets, Lord, the false teaching, the anti-Christian teaching, and even just the false biblical teaching abounds. So Lord, you're going to have to take these words this morning and enlarge them in the heart of those who have received them and heard them. Lord, your word gives clarity, it gives understanding to that which seems impossibly confusing. Lord, it is simple if we would but simply by faith ingest these words and then put them and apply them into effect in our lives. Lord, we pray for our church. Lord, as we look back over a year and look forward to another year, Lord, I pray for our new folks that have come in that have never been a part of a ministry. I pray you would give them clarity and direction and leading as they pray specifically this summer. Lord, where would you have me to serve? What ministry would you have me to serve you in to further your purpose and your will? Then, Lord, one last invitation to those who are lost, separated from you by sin. Lord, may they see you hanging on a cross in their place, suffering and paying the ultimate penalty that the law can mete out, that of death. Fully satisfy God's law, God's justice. Lord, I pray you'd open their eyes to that. You'd call them home to you, and they would respond in obedience.